The Pat Kenny Show.
With the Jaguar E-Pace. Beautiful by design and dynamic to drive. Delivering performance that is unmistakably Jaguar.
This is News Talk.
There have been reports in recent weeks that there's a return to loyalist violence in the north that could be possible if the Northern Ireland Protocol is not scrapped. But just how credible a threat is that? Our reporter Barry White has been to Belfast. He joins us now. Barry, remind us of why this Northern Ireland Protocol is causing them so much anger.
Hi, Pat. Good morning. Well, I've been to the loyalist communities of East Belfast and Sandy Roe in the north's capital. And there's a real sense of anger and frustration there. This anger is because of the Northern Ireland Protocol, which came into effect in January. And under the terms of the protocol, Northern Ireland remains in the EU single market for goods while the rest of the UK has left. So that means checks are required at ports and airports in the north now on certain products arriving from Great Britain. So essentially, there is now a border in the Irish Sea. And for loyalists and unionists, they say this sea border affects Northern Ireland's place in the UK. And these people I spoke to in East Belfast say they believe the protocol could be the first step towards a united Ireland, which they are totally against.
Protocol or no protocol, I think Northern Ireland is still British. I mean, that's the end game for everybody, that Northern Ireland remains British. The protocol is the first stepping stone across the river to Irish unity. It's 100 years old this year in Northern Ireland. And since our conception, this is it's the dodgiest it's been for us as a large union.
What's the alternative to the Northern Ireland Protocol then?
Northern Ireland leaves with the rest of the UK. What's the issue?
Yeah, but Northern Ireland voted to remain.
It wasn't a regional vote. I mean, I don't turn around and say that in England, London voted to remain, so we don't have a border around London. Or we don't have a border around each constituency that voted to remain. Or we're going to break it down to regions, break it down then to the constituencies within the regions. East Belfast voted leave. So, I mean, where I'm from, we voted leave.
Is there real anger in the loyalist community now? And could that anger spill over to violence?
There is anger. There is anger. But as regards violence, the threat of violence has been seen to pay. It paid for the Irish government, it paid for the EU. I mean, why didn't the rest of the EU and Ireland just say, there's a hard border in Ireland, work with? The threat and violence, it was moved. So as regards the threat of violence, I think the threat of violence at the moment has been mouthed off by the DUP. The DUP are politicians, I don't think they're capable of violence. If they're threatening it, well, maybe they're just playing the same game that Leo played.
But if loyalists are forced into the corner here and the Northern Ireland Protocol doesn't change, then could there be violence then?
If you turn around your man and say, like, I don't want to take his country off him, like, I don't want to take his nationality off him, could there be violence? It would depend on the individual, wouldn't it?
I'm British, you know, I've always been. I've been here from Northern Ireland all my life, you know, it's my British identity. You know, and I feel it's very important to me. There is talks about the border poll, and there's talks about the whole island going united Ireland, things like that. You know, this thing about united Ireland, it's definitely not something that I want to entertain. You know, it's changed. You know, obviously when you have something, you know, you don't change it yourself. Someone's coming in trying to make a change, and you don't get the option on it. That's the upsetting part. You know, it'd be different if you had your own say, I want to do that, but we're actually being told, and that's only a part of it.
The anger of the loyalists in East Belfast, yes, I would say that. But it's annoying. It's just doing your head. It's taking wee bits of your culture away.
Could that anger boil over, though?
Well, it could, if it keeps on going the way it's going.
So violence could be an option?
Well, I don't think so, but if it has to come down that way, that's the way it has to go.
If there was violence, though, who would it be aimed towards?
I don't know. It's just the local community. People are pissed off, I would say. I would go out and ask her, because it's doing my head on.
So, Barry, a real sense of upset and anger there. You can hear that from the people that you spoke to. Maybe it could lead to protests, but is a return to violence actually a real possibility, do you believe?
Well, Pat, there has been graffiti daubed on walls in different places in Northern Ireland in the last few weeks, and I saw some of this myself. For example, in Carrickfergus earlier this month, graffiti was painted on a wall stating the Good Friday Agreement is done, time for war. Or in the Sandy Row area where I was in Belfast, I came across graffiti stating Sandy Row, British till I die, or British till we die, with a large target sign on the wall. While there was also threatening graffiti, as we know about, aimed towards the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar recently. But this is only graffiti, it's not actual violence. However, earlier this week, the offices of SDLP MLA Nicola Mallon in North Belfast and Sinn Féin MP Paul Maskey in West Belfast were targeted. So there does seem to be an escalation and to be more and more unrest growing. And I've been speaking to an ex-loyalist paramilitary, and he told me that if the Irish Sea border is not scrapped, then there will be a return to violence.
You know, So when I got involved with loyalist paramilitaries myself, it was around the time of the Drumcree protests, and there was anger there, and it was there was frustration, there was annoyance, but when you look at the bigger picture again, it was just parades, it was banned parades, it was attacks on our culture. This is literally lifting Northern Ireland out of the UK, and pivoting it towards Dublin and towards Europe. So this isn't just loyalists, this isn't just Sandy Row or the Shankill Road. I've heard people, business people, people, law-abiding citizens, talking about is now the time where there needs to be loyalist violence in order for us to keep Northern Ireland's place in the UK.
Is that a reality, that there could be loyalist violence?
Unless something major changes in weeks or possibly months, I can see violence. It might start off low-key. It could be interface violence, rioting between teenagers. But if this continues on this path, you're going to see active, orchestrated loyalist violence. And I know at the minute that there are discussions. You know, there are young loyalists involved using encrypted messaging apps, talking to each other, people starting to gather intelligence, addresses, car registration numbers of people that they would regard as legitimate targets.
Well, who would loyalist violence be aimed towards then?
Well, you would have to look at anyone who was involved in lobbying for the protocol, anyone who's involved in maintaining it, and anyone who is involved in implementing it. So you could be looking there, anyone involved in Sinn Féin, the SDLP, the Alliance Party, the Irish government. Leo Varadkar, I would not advise him to come to Northern Ireland without some kind of security. He is a hate figure here now because of the constant threats that he was making. If you put any kind of hard border between Northern Ireland and the Republic, you're bringing back IRA violence. So loyalists are looking at that now saying, well, if Leo Varadkar can make those kind of threats, why can't we do the same in order for us to get our way? So there's plenty of targets, and even we've seen threats against the border post staff. And even if some of those people live in loyalist areas, they're implementing this Irish Sea border. So, you know, they're making themselves targets. There's no brinkmanship here as far as loyalists are concerned. If we continue down this path, there is going to be violence in Northern Ireland, 100%.
Now, that guy we just heard, Barry, is a former loyalist paramilitary. Again, you have to ask, how much of this is just talk? How much of it is a real positive threat?
Yeah, well, Pat, a lot of people from the loyalist community keep going back to the comments the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar made in October 2018 when he circulated a news report about an IRA bomb at a Newry customs post during the Troubles. And the point that he made then was that a hard border could become a target for dissidents. And to be fair to Leo Varadkar, that wasn't a threat. Dissident Republicans are quoted at that time as saying that a hard border and those who manned it would become a target. So he was just quoting what dissidents said at that time. But loyalists feel that he used this politically to get his own way. So now they are using the threat of violence to get their own way, or trying to get their own way regarding the Irish Sea border. How real is the threat? Well, it depends on how well organised loyalism can be. According to a recent briefing by the PSNI and MI5, there are an estimated 12,500 members of loyalist paramilitary groups in Northern Ireland, 7,500 in the UVF and 5,000 in the UDA. And security correspondent with the Irish News, Alison Morris, who herself received a death threat from loyalists recently, she was told by the PSNI, she told me despite the ceasefire in 1998, these groups continued recruiting, but she does question whether there could be a return to the dark old days.
Look, I wouldn't doubt for one second that there's anger in the loyalist community. There most certainly is. But whether that anger could manifest itself into violence on the streets is another thing. I'm not sure that the appetite exists for that. That's not to say that there couldn't be disruption, that there couldn't be protests. It wouldn't take very many people to block the ports at Larne and the ports of Belfast, and that would cause massive disruption to trade and business, you know, on this island. And I think that that's always a very real possibility. The PSNI have said they're keeping a close eye on that. We know that there has been graffiti to that end, and we know that there was on one occasion staff removed from the ports, although the security assessment at that time was that there was no credible threat to them. I would never say never, but I would say that among the loyalist community, whether there may be anger, I think that after the flag protests and how many people ended up with criminal records and had achieved really nothing by the end of that, I'm not sure that there's an appetite to repeat a strategy that has failed in the past.
One ex-loyalist paramilitary I've spoke to says he knows of young loyalists gathering information of number plates, etc., of what he says would be legitimate targets. Would the likes of the UVF have many young members, and would they be able to mobilise?
Those loyalist paramilitary groups have a lot of young men in their ranks. They continue to recruit long after the ceasefires. But during the flag protest, over 300 young men received criminal records and served prison sentences, and I don't think there's any appetite to repeat the mistakes of the past. That's not to say they couldn't cause some disruption at the ports. The thing is, in a community as small as ours, many of those people working at the ports of Larne and Belfast would be from people from within the unionist community as well, and so they would literally be attacking members of their own community. So I do think that you know, we need to put it into perspective. But at this point in time, The argument over the protocol is between unionism and the British government. You know, the Irish government cannot solve that. The other EU member states cannot solve that. This is a problem about identity. It isn't a problem about trade. It isn't a problem about business. It's a problem about how British people feel. And that betrayal, or that perceived betrayal, is on the result of the British government's actions in relation to the withdrawal agreement and the protocol. And I think that that's where the anger should be directed. And I think that that's where political pressure, if unionism want to exert that, that's what they should use their power for.
And that's Alison Morris. Finally, Barry, the PSNI and the Gardaí, how are they treating this threat of violence? Is anything being done to ease the tensions?
Well, the PSNI say they are aware of increased community tension regarding the implications of the EU exit and are monitoring the situation closely. And I have to say, when I was in these areas of Belfast, the increased PSNI presence was evident. But the Gardaí say they consider any suggestion in respect of the threat to use violence or the threat of violence in a general sense or against named individuals or organisations as a matter of serious concern. Regarding the easing of tensions, well, the DUP leader Arlene Foster, Nigel Dodds, who is now a member of the House of Lords, and East Belfast MP Gavin Robinson yesterday met with a group who were representing loyalist paramilitaries. The DUP released a statement saying it was a constructive and useful meeting, and they discussed political and constitutional methods to oppose the Northern Ireland Protocol. Now, the very fact that the DUP met with loyalist paramilitaries has been criticised, with the North's Justice Minister, Naomi Long. She tweeted last night saying, "Proscribed terrorist organisations are not a legitimate part of our community, and they are not stakeholders who should be consulted." She said it was Stormont's job to eradicate paramilitaries, not give them legitimacy. Meanwhile, the peacebuilding charity in the North, Cooperation Ireland, has also met with loyalist paramilitaries in recent weeks. And their chief executive, who is the former PSNI Assistant Chief Constable Peter Sheridan, says there is palpable anger among unionists and loyalists over the protocol, but he doesn't think there will be a return to the bombs and bullets of the past.
I suppose the first thing is that there's no doubt since the 1st of January there has been a rise in the tensions, particularly among the loyalist unionist community, and as someone described it in the community to me, as palpable anger about the protocol. Now, I don't think we should automatically read across that palpable anger or tensions means violence. Sometimes there's an immaturity in this place that we move automatically to think that if people oppose things and protest about something that they move automatically to some sort of violence around it. But I think the main issue for loyalist and unionist communities is firstly that there's a visibility around the border that wasn't expected it to be. In other words, that it wasn't expected that every household would be affected by unable to get parcels delivered to them, and that really the only people that should have noticed any difference was the lorry drivers at Larne, Warren Point or Belfast, but that hasn't been the case. So that has brought a visibility around it. I suppose the second thing for unionists and those people who see themselves as having a cultural identity with the rest of the United Kingdom, they feel that somehow that they now are sandwiched between two unions, between the European Union and the United Kingdom. And that it's not just a trade border, which probably it's seen by many nationalists as a trade border, but for unionists, it's also seen as a constitutional border because it differentiates them from the rest of the United Kingdom.
Peter, you said there's a lot of anger in the loyalist unionist community, but you also say that doesn't necessarily equal violence. But in recent weeks, we have seen graffiti and posters appear in areas in the north attacking the new arrangements of the Northern Ireland Protocol. And in some cases, we've seen staff at Larne Port and Belfast ports threatened. Is there a potential there for violence, or is this being overplayed in some quarters?
Well, I'm not sure that's been overplayed. I mean, those are real incidents that happened. I suppose the point I'm making is that sometimes when we talk about violence on this island, the spectre of bombs and bullets looms large, rather than when we get into places where people protest and put posters up lampposts. And the graffiti doesn't seem to be organised graffiti. I mean, there are always going to be people who will react themselves to things and take actions themselves. But we can't minimise the fact that some people will have felt threatened by it. But as I understand it at the minute, both from people who are in the loyalist community and the unionist community, people aren't considering violence in terms of what we would have known as violence in this community.
And that's the Chief Executive of Cooperation Ireland, the former PSNI Assistant Chief Constable Peter Sheridan, ending that pretty worrying report from Barry White. Coming up next, could Johnny Sexton's return to play bring Ireland one step closer to a win in the Six Nations? That's next.